Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Today, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, is joined by a remarkable young man who's using his talents and platform to bring glory to God. His name, Riley Leonard. Riley was a speaker at our 2025 Ignite Men's Impact Weekend at a time when his athletic future was still uncertain. Since then, he's been drafted in the sixth round of the 2025 NFL Draft by the Indianapolis Colts. Riley began his college football career at Duke before transferring to Notre Dame for his final season in 2024, where he led the Fighting Irish to a 14-2 record and a national championship appearance game against Ohio State. He's achieved so much on the field, but for Riley, the most important, rewarding part of the game is seeing lives pointed to Christ. I'm excited for you to hear this incredible conversation he had with Zach on stage at Ignite. Let's go there now.
I'm so excited. Any college football fans in the house? Come on, sometimes I would like to say I might be a bigger fan of college football than I am the NFL. I just go there. I'm just being real. I think they give a little bit more effort, right? No offense, Kirk. Anyways, our first guest of this afternoon session is a man that I think all of us can say just by watching the work that God is continuing to do in and through his heart, a word that sticks out, a word that we'll talk about is that of humility. A guy who spent some time at Duke, transferred to Notre Dame. Any Fighting Irish fans in the house? Okay. And we saw what God did in and through him in the incredible run this year all the way to the national championship, but we know God has a special plan for this young man's life. Hey, without further ado, help me give a warm, rounding Ignite welcome to my dear friend, Mr. Riley Leonard.
All right, is it working? Come on. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank you for having me.
Riley, obviously, you have played in stadiums. You have played all over the country with hundreds of thousands of fans, millions of viewers. But to be in a room like this with 5,000 dudes who are just hungry for the gospel, they're hungry to learn what it means to be trained in righteousness. What does, I mean, this atmosphere like mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no better place to be than right here. I mean, to be honest with you guys, I'm not a public speaker, all right? I'm a quarterback, and the Lord gave me a platform. So who am I to not share the gospel and do everything I can to glorify him? So, Like I said, if I stutter, if I go on a tangent about something, I don't know how this day is going to go, but y'all just bear with me. Hopefully you take away something from this. So thank y'all again for having me.
Hey, I'm gonna toss some softballs up to you, my friend. Hey, but up front, there's no doubt that it has been an unbelievable year for you. God has done something magnificent in and through your heart, but magnificent in and through your journey and your story as a quarterback, right? Obviously, change of scenery, going to Notre Dame, but what a run. The playoff run, I mean, you guys knocked off Indiana, Georgia, Penn State, all the way to the national championship against OSU. God did something special through you. Riley, beyond the change of scenery, the change in uniform, what changed within the man this year?
Yeah, obviously went through a lot this year. Number one, entering the transfer portal, which is very normal now. Terrible feeling. I hated being in the transfer portal because I'm a loyal guy, and I like to think of myself as a loyal guy. So I saw a couple Duke hats, so I apologize for leaving Duke. But I think the biggest thing that changed within me was my environment. Going to Notre Dame, I surrounded myself with, not that there weren't at Duke, but just godly Christian men who grew me in my faith. Like every single day I walked into the locker room, they were the ones growing me. So like I had a lot of adversity this year, and we'll get into that throughout this, you know, speech. But yeah, I think the biggest thing was just my environment, who I surrounded myself with.
What I love to do is kind of, as we move forward, I want to take a second to look backward, right? Obviously, this man that has developed over time in his faith and his resilience, that wasn't just born. That was something that was cultivated. That was something that was made. I want to go back to, obviously, growing up. You were born in South Carolina, but grew up in Fairhope, Alabama. You grew up as a middle child, older brother, younger brother. I'm sure things were probably rowdy in the Leonard household. Speak to just what that was like with your brothers growing up, but also the influence and the impact your mom and dad had on you from a very young age.
Yeah, so obviously it's great to have two brothers growing up, and we would do everything together. And then my mom and dad had a huge impact on my life. And I know a lot of people get up here and they share their testimonies, right? And I don't know whether mine's a good one or a bad one, but every testimony to me is a great one. So like, whether you found Christ at the age of 40, you know, in your backyard, or you went through 40 years of trials and tribulations, or you were born in a Christian family household, like there's no such thing as a bad testimony. So the way that, thank you. Yes. So like, just know that, like mine's a little different, but I didn't grow up in a Christian household. We didn't, you know, we were the traditional, you know, Christmas, why do you celebrate Christmas, Jesus' birthday, but we weren't true Christians. And I remember all my life, all I had wanted to do was be the man in high school. In my freshman year, I walked into high school and I was, you know, on the varsity football, varsity basketball team, and I'm poking my chest out, look how cool I am. My mom would drop me off at high school every day and I'd walk into school, and for about a week, I was like, man, this is really cool. And then after that, I'm thinking like, dang, this is it? Like, this is everything I ever dreamed of, and I'm still missing like a huge part of my life? Like, that's one thing I can offer you guys is perspective, because I've been, you know, blessed in high school, and then I'm playing in front of millions of people, playing in the national championship game, and even all that, I'm still feeling empty at times. Like, I walked off the field against Ohio State in the national championship game, and walking out of a baptism that one of my closest family members had means more to me and is more fulfilling to me than playing in the national football championship, like legit. And if y'all don't believe me, I don't know what to tell you, but you know, Kirk obviously is coming up here next and he'll probably tell you the same thing. But pretty much in high school, I wasn't a Christian, and then met my girlfriend who I'm still with 7.5 years, we're going strong, and she took me to church. Yeah, she took me to church for the first time, and luckily then, my high school football coach, high school basketball coach, and principal all poured into me at the same time, so it was really an act of God just, you know, using me, and ever since then, I took Christianity and ran with it. But I also want to tell you guys, like, I'm so incomplete right now, too. Like, I know I'm on stage, and you guys are looking at me right now. Like, I want there to be a mirror here that's reflecting up to the Lord. Like, don't look at me as the example, please. Like, I try my best to live like Jesus every single day, but I'll tell you what, I'm no better than anybody sitting in this room. And I have a lot of things that I need to work on in my faith as well, but, you know, I'm confronting that every day and facing them, so.
What I love that you just mentioned, Riley, is that we all have this this God-shaped hole in our heart that only he can fulfill, that only he can really speak into, that only he can bring that level of satisfaction that sometimes we reach for through sports, sometimes we reach for through other idols that might bring us temporary or counterfeit relief. But God is the only one that can fill us with the hope that you are now living with. I want to go back because we're going to talk about the hardships and all of those things that you've navigated even throughout the last year or so. But I do want to touch on your brothers because I know I've done my research on you. I've read a couple articles on you. And there was one particular article where you said out of all the memories, right, you guys were really close. You guys lived in like the same bedroom. You had some empty vacant bedrooms in your house because all three boys wanted to sleep in the same bedroom, right, growing up, best of friends. But out of all the memories, the one that stuck out to you the most is a day that you started digging. Mm. Go ahead and tell us that story.
I mean, it's pretty much what y'all think. Me and my brothers just grabbed our shovels, and we like to dig holes. So we took our hole in the backyard, didn't ask mom, probably should have, but it's better to, ask for forgiveness afterwards. But anyways, we started digging, and we, you know, it's so random. I wrote like an article about it. But we didn't know, you know, what we were going to find, but we thought we were going to dig to China, so we were just going to keep on digging. And like, it's little things like that that, like, grow you to the person you are today. So I used it when we lost to NIU this year.
What I love about that, because you really tied it back to the Teddy Roosevelt speech, right, the Man in the Arena speech, and that you believed that you were digging for a purpose. You believed that you were going somewhere, and God was clearly taking you somewhere, Riley. I mean, in high school, like you mentioned, you did incredible things, not just as a football player, ton of accolades, I could rattle them off, but also as a basketball player here for a second. I want to ask just a fun question. Why football over basketball? Because, dude, you can ball. I've watched some videos on you. Why football?
That's a good question. I kind of wish, you know, sometimes I was still in the gym, but I miss basketball a lot, but I think I just love the quarterback position and the team aspect of playing the game of football. You know, being able to compete out on the football field is kind of different than any other sport, in my opinion. And a lot of my competitiveness kind of comes from my relationship with the Lord. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 9:24, the Lord says, like, if you're going to run to win. And I think there's no better example of that than football. Like, it's a team sport. And a lot of people mistake Jesus as, like, a softer guy. But when I read that verse, like, Jesus was a savage. Like, he was going into the worst places and getting his hands dirty and competing against everybody to, you know, spread the gospel. So, like, that's my thing. Like, I'm going to go, y'all see, if you see me play, like, I don't play very smart. I don't play smart at all. Joe Theismann was here last year. He played at Notre Dame. And before I could even introduce myself, he was telling me how to slide. And, I'm over here trying to do flips over people landing on my neck, so.
Riley Leonard and Jesus Christ, two competitors right there, baby. Come on. Riley, you know, as you make the choice, God opens a door, tons of different offers, but you make the choice to go to Duke. And I'm interested up front, too, why Duke? And what was it that God was really revealing to you and teaching you in those seasons? Because I'll walk through some of them and how you guys really transformed the program, but what were some lessons that God taught you at Duke?
Yeah, so I pretty much picked Duke because I didn't have another option. They're one of the only offers I had. So I remember sitting there and I was like wondering when I can commit. And I would call the coach, be like, "Hey, can I commit?" And he'd be like, "Hold off." And I'd see on social media like the quarterback they wanted like committed somewhere else. And that happened like six times. And then I was like, "Coach, like, take me." First year we got there, I went 3-9. Had my first start against Virginia Tech, which I'm sure there are some Virginia Tech fans in the house.
VT!
Yeah, you guys smoked us. I probably went like 5 for 25, you know, two picks. Got benched at halftime. Awful experience. But we went that year, and then I went into my sophomore year. And going into my sophomore year, we went 9-4 that year. So we flipped that program from 3-9 to 9-4. And everybody asked me, like, "How'd y'all do it?" And honestly, Kung Fu Panda quote, like, the secret is there is no secret. Like, the secret's in the work, so.
And then, like you said, I want to go back to this moment because the transfer portal is just crazy in college athletics. It provides opportunity for guys to just go and to go to different places. But God, I believe, really, like, hand-selected you and hand-picked you to go to Notre Dame. I mean, your head coach, Coach Freeman, he is a man who has had incredible impact and influence on countless lives. I would just be remiss not to ask the impact he's had on your life and what it meant to you to experience this last year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, Coach Freeman, who many of you guys know, everything you see is real. To give you a few examples of kind of the man he is, number one, he knows every janitor's name in the facility and treats them no differently than any other person. Number two, I remember when he was recruiting me, I sent him a three-hour podcast on Tom Brady, and 3.5 hours later, he had watched the entire thing and was ready to talk about it. So to play for a man like that really means a lot to me. Like I said, after we played NIU and lost to NIU, which was an unacceptable loss there, I played terrible. That was completely my fault we lost too. And I remember walking in the next day and I was like, yo, like anything can happen. I'm about to get benched. And he's got his feet kicked up. He's like, what's up, Rye? And he like throws me a candy bar and just wants to talk about life and talk about the Lord and how I'm gonna be thankful for this. And I told him, like, there's no way I'm ever gonna be thankful for this. Like, this is the worst moment of my life. Week two, like, it was awful. I was going to school the next day in a black hoodie, like, you know, it was a terrible experience for me, but him and the Lord really kind of just pushed me through that dark time. Mm.
Your life speaks louder than your lips. That's what I was always told from a very young age. And I feel like you are walking out what humility really means. I was telling you back there how much I appreciated, you know, after a tough loss or after you were probably exhausted from so many of these, you know, college football playoff games, you were always professing and testifying to the good news of the gospel. There was even one moment, I don't know if some of you guys saw it, it went viral all over social media. The lights were turning off. You know, the press was walking away and Riley caught everybody in a moment. It was like, hold on, like turn the lights back on. I have one more word. And you just presented the gospel. Speak to that for a moment.
You know, I don't know if it was me. I think the Lord presented the gospel and he presented it through me.
I love that.
Yeah, I really believe that. And everybody looks to us athletes in these times when we're on a pedestal to bring up the Lord. And I definitely always, you know, try to do that. But I think it's important, like, no matter what you do, like, exhaust yourself preaching the gospel. Like, say you're a good writer, all right, write a book about Jesus. If you can bake a cake and give it to somebody in the name of Jesus. Like, the Lord gave you, you know, certain skills, and everybody glorifies quarterbacks, and, you know, that's just because, like, we're in America, and that's what people love. But, like, exhaust yourself. How selfish is it to have a gift that the Lord specifically gave you and not just do everything you can to give back to him and to glorify him through that. So yeah. So, like, whatever you do, like, it doesn't matter. Whenever I'm most confident, I'm also most humble at the same time, because I'm so confident in the traits that the Lord gave me that I can utilize them for the better of other people. So I got to think about that and deliver that a better message, but there's a message in that. I just don't know how to say it.
Well, I love this idea that humility, I've heard it said by Megan Faith Marshman, is that it's an accurate understanding of the self, right? I believe that humility and confidence correlate, because when you are humble and you recognize who you are before God, that again, it's not about performing for, it's about operating from a place of freedom, from a place of grace, from a place of forgiveness. We're walking in our identity and we're more confident, because it's like, hey, I'm just preparing a way for God to do his work in and through me. I'm just a willing vessel.
That's right.
That's what I see when I see you, right? I try to see Jesus through Riley Leonard. That's your heart, that's your posture. But like you said, you know, being on a pedestal as a premier college football player, quarterback, one of the best to do it, getting the opportunity to now, you know, play at the next level. With that come a lot of pressure, come a lot of hardship too, and also probably in a season of uncertainty. How is God peeling back layers within you in the midst of, you know what, God, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm just gonna trust you with it?
You know, I had to remind myself though, like, if I knew what the Lord knew, I wouldn't be asking any questions. You know, that's something that really has just been on my heart recently. And he's probably sitting up there chuckling right now, thinking, like, Riley, you're so simple-minded. Like, see the bigger picture, kid. You're going to end up just fine. Does it really matter? Like, I'm going to get an opportunity, and wherever I end up, you know, to spread the gospel, and that's most important. But it's very hard for me right now to remind myself of that because thank y'all. Y'all are a great group. Thank you for clapping for me. It gives me time to think about what I'm going to say. I will say this, though. It's also super hard for me right now not to compare myself to other quarterbacks in the draft, okay? Because I actually learned this in the second half of the Ohio State game. I'm sitting there in the third quarter, right? We're playing against Ohio State. Will Howard's playing really good. And I'm sitting there like, man, like, I wish I was having the game Will's having. Like, you know, he's going to get drafted higher than me, or he's going to have, you know, all these great things happen to him. And the Lord hit me in the third quarter of that game, and it just struck me. It was like, comparison is the root of all evil. Mm. Like, all I can do is worry about the best version of myself and then leave it to him at that. And that's the same thing that I'm doing right now. Like, thank y'all. Yeah, it's so easy for me to look at this quarterback or this quarterback and, oh man, I can throw it better than him, I can run better than him. Like, no, I can get better and I can reach my full potential, and that's all I can worry about. So that's another thing that I'm juggling right now.
I think that speaks to not only athletes, but us as men, right? We're all competitors, and sometimes our competitiveness can easily bleed over into comparison. Because our goal, right, we kind of live in a comparison culture that's built on perceived perfection. Everybody wants to become more, do more, be better, all of these things. But being able to recognize, hey, I'm just going to walk, right, attuned to the Spirit of God in my own life. And I'm going to trust his plan and his path for my life. Oftentimes, it's in these seasons of uncertainty, though, that I'm just reminded of an old quote that even when you can't track or trace the hand of God, you can always trust the heart of God.
What you guys are doing right now is exactly the message. Like, you guys are living it right now. Everybody to your right and left and in the back of the room, the front of the room, we're all here because we're broken men and we need to lift each other up.
Guys, as we wrap up, I want to do something fun. If you guys would, just extend a hand to Riley, because I just feel like God is, he's taken him places, and he is going to put him on platforms and give him opportunities that I know are going to be not just through a game of football, but God is going to have his way with you. Let us pray over you real quick. God, just thank you for Riley. Man, just thank you for the man that he is and just the men that we're all becoming. God, I pray that even in a season of uncertainty, God, he doesn't know what's next. I pray that you would continue to lead God and direct his steps. God, I pray that he would not compare his path to others. We know that's the thief of joy. But that he would be rooted and anchored in you, God, the God who gives us all grace, all power, and all freedom. God, thank you for his testimony, for his boldness. I pray, God, a fresh word of hope and boldness over him, that he would continue to press on and persevere the race that you have set before him. God, we love you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things. And all of Ignite Men's Impact Weekend shouted, amen. Hey, if you love Riley and what he's doing, give him a round of applause, and he's got some footballs to throw out. Come on, Riley.
All right. They say I don't throw long passes, so we're going to throw some long ones. All right.
Okay.
I don't want to hit a light.
Oh, yeah, he wants it up there. Oh! Oh!
All right, last
balcony!
One. I don't want to hit a light. I'm sorry.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.